Have you ever lost something really important to you? What did you do to find it again? On October 31st this year, my wife and I were asked by my sister-in-law to watch over her new dog. She just got it the night before, and the dog was supposed to be in the kennel, and we were about to walk in the house, our hands were full, and we opened the door a crack, and we thought, oh, the dog is there. All of a sudden, the dog burst out and ran away. And we felt so bad. She just got the dog. It's a rescue dog. We weren't sure it was going to come back. So we went on this search and rescue mission for it. We spent hours walking around, talking to neighbors, putting up posters. And it was Halloween, and the dog was black. And we didn't know what to do. We were praying and seeking. Ah! Spent hours just intently looking for this dog. Unfortunately, into the night, we couldn't find the dog. Thankfully, though, the next day, it came back. And I remember my sister-in-law FaceTimed me, and we were just so happy and enjoying. It came back. Wow, the dog has come. And we're so happy and thankful. Has something like this happened to you? Believe it or not, God lost something really important to him, and he went to extraordinary lengths to find it again. He actually lost us, humanity, and he went on a search and rescue mission to save us. And we're doing our series, the last sermon of Fan versus Follower, and both fans and followers of Jesus were found by Jesus through his mission. And fans, though, they are found by Jesus, but they're like, oh, that was nice. And they kind of live their own lives. Followers, though, they're so touched. They're so thankful that Jesus found them, that they have this passion and this urgency to seek out others who are lost, just like they were. And that's where we're going to focus our time together today. We're going to look at Luke 15, at two stories which tell us how God sought us out and found us, and also how followers of Jesus are now called into that same search and rescue mission. So have your Bibles, please turn with me. We're going to look at Luke 15, starting in verse 1 all the way to verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and they say, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there are more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you that you love us so much and you have sought us so intently and shown your love through us through Jesus. So help us, Lord, know and remember what you've done for us, and also give us a passion to seek out those who are lost just like we were. Help us, Lord, and may this time glorify your name, and may these words be guided by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Here's what I believe God wants us to know today. Jesus seeks the lost and sends the found. Jesus seeks those of us, all of us who were lost, with this great passion, and then he sends those he has found into that same search and rescue mission. And like the shepherd and the woman in this parable, Jesus seeks us with this intensity. And he is calling each one of us followers of Jesus to seek and search out those who are lost, just like he did. And we're going to look at just two points today. First one is Jesus seeks the lost. And second is, any guesses? Yep. Jesus sends the found. Let's look at the first point. Jesus seeks the lost. If you look at this story, one of the main points is that God is the one actively seeking us out. If you look at the shepherd, in those days, every night a shepherd would count his sheep one by one by hand. And in this story, he would be dismayed to find one of his sheep was missing. So he went out in the open country into the wilderness, probably at nighttime, which is not the safest thing to do, or to find this one sheep. Kind of like we went out to find my sister-in-law's dog. And also there's this woman who lost one of these silver coins. Now these coins are probably worth about a day's wages, but also there's another kind of importance to it. It could have denoted her status, and also could have been part of her dowry. Now in those days, women had very little rights. So getting married was so, so important. Dowry is the thing you needed, some amount of money you needed in order to get married. And for her, this is so important because marriage meant participation in society and also protection in society. And losing this would have severely lowered her chances of getting married. So she turns up the whole house in order to find it. Imagine losing your wallet, which had all your ID in it. I mean, everything. Your driver's license, your birth certificate, your passport, everything. I work with people who are homeless, and one of their barriers to getting a home is lack of ID. Because if you lose ID, you need ID to get ID. You gotta prove who you are in order to get new ID, and it's very hard to if you lose everything. And without it, you can't participate in society. So it's maybe similar to that. And these two stories are pictures of God's intense search for us because we became lost. The Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth, and he also created us human beings in his image. And we had everything, but we, like sheep, we got lost. I used to raise sheep growing up, and they're not the brightest creatures. And whenever one of them gets lost, or maybe you wanted to do something, all you got to do is shake a little grain and it will just come running. And in a similar way, the evil one tempted us, led us astray through some food, a piece of fruit, and we went running and we left God's protection and love. Isaiah, a prophet of the Old Testament, kind of puts our situation like this in Isaiah 53, verse 6. It says here, "We, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way." And when the first humans turned away from God, sinned against God, things went all messed up. Physical death entered creation, murder, envy, hate, and also something called spiritual death came upon creation. And this is essentially what hell is. With God, when we're with God, there's life, there's peace, there's joy, we're home. Without God, we are almost like in a wilderness. We're lost and we are separated from him and there's only death. And while heaven is to be with God for all eternity, to be home with God, hell is to be eternally separated from God and lost. And this is the worst kind of being lost. God, he saw our dire situation, so he started planning a search and rescue mission. He first rescued a people called Israel, and he picked them out of all the nations just to show the rest of the world what it looks like for humans to be home with God, to be shaped and protected by the love and grace of God. But they too were like sheep. They always went away from God, but God was always gracious and faithful, bringing his people back to himself. And he sent prophets like Isaiah to get the people back in line, to bring them back into God. And also these prophets foretold about God's ultimate search and rescue mission. If you go back to Isaiah 53, this passage is actually called the passage of the suffering servant. And it foretells, it prophesies about a Messiah, a deliverer, who will enact God's mission to save his people, all nations, and all creation. And this is what this passage says about this person. In verse 6 again, we all actually have gone away. And then the Lord has laid on him, this Messiah, the iniquity of us all. But look at verse 4 to 6. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. This foretells of God's ultimate rescue plan, which was to send his own son, Jesus. Jesus, God in the flesh, was sent here for God's final search and rescue mission. And like the woman and the shepherd in these stories, God went all out. He gave everything to find us. And Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He proclaimed life and not death. He welcomed sinners and loved them. And finally, he took the penalty of our sins. When we, like sheep, have gone astray, we are separated from God. And as a result, we deserve death. We deserve that punishment to be forever separated from God. But instead of us taking the punishment, instead of us dying for our sins, Jesus, in his love and grace, took our place. He died on the cross for us. He became lost so that we can be found. And what's even more amazing, what's even extra good news, is that Jesus also rose from the dead. Jesus took the penalty, took death, but death could not hold him. He defeated death. He defeated the thing that separated us from God. And that means now all of us, all peoples, all nations, can be found by God, can experience the love and grace and protection of Jesus and come home. And we can't earn this. We can't work for this. We're not. One of the themes of these parables is, while God is actually searching for us, we are not very good at being found. The coin can't do very much to get the attention of the woman. And the sheep actually has to be carried by the shepherd on his back in order to come home. And this is a reminder that salvation comes from Jesus alone, not us. We're not saved, we're not found by God because we worked for it or because we were good, but because God has done all the work through Jesus on the cross and because he is good. Jesus, he seeks the lost and he sends the found. And I encourage you, if you haven't accepted Jesus' call to come home, to accept him as Lord and Savior, consider it today. He loves you so much. And all you have to do, you can't work for it, just accept this gift of Jesus to come home. And just say to Jesus, I need you, Lord. I want to come home. And if you have any questions about this, or if you've made this decision, I encourage you to connect with one of us through the website. All right, let's go to the second point. Jesus seeks the lost, and two, Jesus sends the found. And with the same passionate intensity we find of God's story in these parables, God now sends us, followers of Jesus, to seek and save those who are lost. And I know, do you have this passion and urgency to seek those who are lost? Jesus sums up his rescue mission in what's called the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It says here, this is Jesus speaking after he rose from the dead, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Wow. We are now, as followers of Jesus, called to go and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, to go on this rescue mission to seek and save the lost. So how do we do this? Well, one of the ways that Jesus tells us in Luke 15 is through a meal. Now, you know that saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach? Well, the way to a lost person is through food, is through a meal. Jesus starts out these two parables. After the Pharisees, these are the religious elite, the big shock pastors of the day, they were kind of grumbling against Jesus because he was eating with and welcoming sinners. Now, these Pharisees, they were all about trying to find God through their own righteousness, through their own acts, And they made all these laws in order to try to find God and be right with Him. And they looked down upon people who didn't follow the law as well as they did, what they called sinners. Now, sinners could be openly immoral persons, could be people who were outcast because of their occupation, like tax collectors, or maybe even shepherds, or could be common people, ordinary people who find it tough to follow all the laws to the T, maybe like this woman. And the Pharisees, they believed that God's rescue mission didn't include these kind of people. In contrast to the Pharisees, Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. And this would have really angered the Pharisees. Because out of their laws, they made, one scholar says, 341 laws to follow in order to find God. Out of all those laws, 229 related to eating with other people. And Jesus was probably breaking a whole bunch of those laws when he was eating with the sinners. Also in that culture, eating with someone was really, really important. You only ate with people you regarded as equals. In that society, there was a huge hierarchy. So you only really wanted to associate with people who were like you. And also, because of that, you put your reputation on the line. It'd be like if today, everybody you invited over for supper, you also agreed to be a reference for the next job interview. And a Pharisee, they might give money to the poor, but they would never eat with them. But Jesus, he accepts sinners, welcomes them, eats with them, and they flock to him. And I believe too often in the past, me included, we have been more like Pharisees than Jesus in our mission, in our evangelism, making disciples. That is, we believe that we have all the right answers. That it's up to us to try to get people to believe what we believe and do what we do. And if they don't, well, we give up on them because, you know, they're sinners anyway. They probably wouldn't accept it anyway. And even though these Pharisees, they seem like followers of God, they were really only fans because they believe that salvation is up to them, that God's mission is up to them. Followers of Jesus, though, they know that it's not up to them. And while we are called to do God's mission like or for Jesus, we're also called to do God's mission like Jesus. And Jesus does things differently. He welcomes sinners and fully accepts them. And he loves them and they are so attracted to Jesus. And instead of only trying to convince people what we believe, and that's a huge part of it, we are also called to love people. Invite them into our lives. Care for them. Invite them into our community, into our church. And also, we're called to do God's mission for Jesus, like Jesus, but also, even more importantly, is with Jesus. The promise of Matthew 28 and the Great Commission is, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, for I will be with you always. And this is a reminder that God's mission is ultimately not up to us, but it's up to God because Jesus, the resurrected King, is with us. He is the one who is seeking and saving the lost, and we are just called to do our small part in that. One person has described evangelism, our mission, as one beggar telling another beggar where to get food, one sheep telling another sheep where to find the shepherd. And our job is simply to point to Jesus. It's his mission. And also to invite others into his table. And the meal that of Luke 15 is actually, and all meals of Jesus, are a foreshadow of what's called the Messianic meal. Isaiah the prophet predicts a time when God and his Messiah would defeat death and bring all nations home. And at home, God's prepared this magnificent feast, and he is one good cook. And let me just read what this vision looks like. It's really encouraging for me. It's Isaiah 25, starting in verse 6. On this mountain, I guess we're living on a mountain, that's pretty cool, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, and the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that folds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. the Lord has spoken. What a day of rejoicing that will be. I can't wait. Jesus seeks the lost and sends the found. And with the Holy Spirit as our guide, we are now called to take part in Jesus' rescue mission, pointing others to Jesus and inviting him to his table. Now let's get a little practical. Let's end with just three applications. At Mosaic House, one way that we've found helpful in reaching those who are lost is three words: prayer, care, and share. First, prayer. Do you have this passion and this urgency to seek out those who don't know Jesus? I encourage you to just ask yourself that question and pray to God for that passion. Maybe are you like a Pharisee? Do you have this attitude that, you know, they're sinners, they won't accept Jesus anyway, so why even try? Do you think that maybe you are better than some people, that you deserve God's grace more? But let me remind you, followers of Jesus, true followers of Jesus, always know that it's only by grace that they are found by God. And the point of Jesus' parables is that he uses sinners, shepherds, and a woman to highlight that fact that we're not found on our merit, but by God's merit. And I encourage you to remember that you are sheep. And in that humility, look out for people in your life who don't know Jesus, whom Jesus loves so deeply. And once you have that passion, and a way to cultivate that passion even more is to pray continually for those who don't know Jesus. And Mosaic House, we encourage you to pray for at least 7 people in your life who don't know Jesus. Pray for them continually. Pray for that your heart would be as God's, that it would break for those who are lost, who don't know Jesus. And as you pray for them continually, that passion will grow, and also you will start to love them. And that leads us to the second word is care. Our mission is not just to tell others a bit about Jesus in order to save their souls. That is probably the most important part, but it's not the only part. It's also to care for their physical needs and help them feel accepted and loved like Jesus did to the people of his day. And I encourage you to think of creative ways that you can care for your neighbors. Think of maybe individually or as a house church. Something at Mosaic House we've been doing is Ding Dong Dash, where we're kind of ringing someone's doorbell, giving them a meal. Think of other ways that you can care for people's physical needs and also help them feel loved and accepted. And finally, last word is share. Yes, our main mission is to tell others about Jesus, point to Jesus so they will be saved from being spiritually lost. And Jesus is the only way to salvation, the only way to come home. And this is an individual calling. We as individuals are called to go out to tell us about Jesus. And also it's a communal calling. God's called the whole church to be part of this mission. So part of that role is to invite others to church. I encourage you to talk to your friends and neighbors about Jesus and also invite them to Mosaic House Online or to your house church. Now, in this political climate, it's sometimes hard to do that. Even talk about religion is on eggshells. And are you afraid maybe of what people think of losing your reputation? Well, let me remind you again with this question. Are you a fan or follower of Jesus? Fans, they're only willing to follow Jesus until it hurts, until they have to give up things like their reputation, like even their family. Follow Jesus, they remember that God has given everything for us, even his own son, in order that they may be found. And therefore, they are now called as a response to give up everything for Jesus. I encourage you, strive or ask Jesus to give you that heart to be his true follower. Surrender to him. Give everything to him. And pray for the courage and for opportunities that by which you can share the goodness of Jesus so that others may be found. Let me just end with this story. I work with people who are homeless. And sometimes it's scary to tell us about Jesus. Anybody. And when I was walking around, I think, Lord, use me today. Whatever you want me to do. And I met this guy. He was asking for change. So I gave him a bus ticket. And there was something in my heart, and the Holy Spirit nudging me to be like, you know, ask if he wants prayer. I didn't want to. But like, okay, anything I could pray for you. And I was waiting for, you know, to get yelled at. But instead, this guy was He was so thankful for that question. And we had a really wonderful conversation. And he wasn't a Christian at the time, but he was really open to it. And after we had that conversation, I saw him around a lot more times, and I found opportunities to care for his, to care for him with his physical needs. And also we went for coffee every 2 weeks. And I started praying for him, put him in my prayer journal. And through our conversations, he was growing, and eventually got connected to a church, and he became a Christian. He became a follower, a disciple of Jesus. And I didn't do that personally, which is fine because it's not my mission. It's Jesus' mission. I have only a small part in it. But when I heard, I was so, wow, filled with joy that this brother of mine was found. And unfortunately, he passed away a few months ago, and it still hurts my heart because I really did love him. At the same time, I'm filled with joy because I know that he is home. He's on this mountain of God, eating the best foods with Jesus. At Jesus' feet, he is home and his suffering is gone. And I'm just so thankful that I was able to play a small part in Jesus' mission to save and seek him. And that's what we are called to do. Jesus seeks the lost and sends the found. Jesus seeks so intently those of us, all of us who are lost, and then he sends us out to be part of his rescue mission. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you seek us so intently, that you love us, you gave everything for us. Lord, help us to be your true followers by giving everything back to you. Pray for opportunities that we may share your good news to all that we meet. Give us a passion for those who don't know Jesus in our lives, to pray for them continually. And I pray that as we are obedient to you, many people will come to know you. That your mission would reap great fruit for your glory and praise, so that many would know you as Lord and Savior, and many would come home. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you love us. Forgive us when we stumble on our mission. And help us to serve you in everything we do. We pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.